Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The urban-rural divide in Wisconsin has become ingrained in our culture. But right now, this divide isn't just concerning, it's dangerous. Ideological divides have led to infighting in our government, with the Republican-led legislature pitting itself against the Democratic governor. Some rural communities that haven't been hit hard by the pandemic are questioning the need for social distancing mandates, while people in cities are seeing their communities ravaged by the disease. And while the divide may not be unusual, the stakes are much higher now than they've ever been before. Kathy Kramer wrote about this divide in her book, The Politics of Resentment: Rural Consciousness in Wisconsin and the Rise of Scott Walker. She joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers from her home.
So this is a very loaded question, and I apologize in advance, but generally when we look at Wisconsin politics and worldviews, what does the urban-rural divide look like here?
What it looks like is a disagreement about who's deserving and who's getting their fair share. And if you're a person in a rural community in Wisconsin, not everybody, so I don't want to overgeneralize, but it's a very common sentiment in our more rural communities in Wisconsin to feel as though you're not getting your fair share and you deserve more. And you're not getting your fair share of three main things. I would say there's a feeling that you're not getting your fair share of decision-making power and that all the decisions are made in Madison or Milwaukee and communicated out to you, and people aren't listening to your concerns or have an understanding of what your life is like. There's also a feeling that you're not getting your fair share of resources, that, for example, most of the taxpayer dollars are spent on the cities and not in communities like your own. And then finally, that you're not getting your fair share of respect, because those folks making the decisions don't know your life, don't understand your life, and actually don't respect people like you. They think you're uneducated, unsophisticated, racist, sexist, and so forth. And so the divide is, it's really about perceptions and people's perceptions of who's getting their just desserts.
When we look at the coronavirus pandemic and all of the different cascading things that have come out of it, the stay-at-home order being a big one, how are all of these things highlighting the divides between these rural and urban communities?
Well, I think one way we can see it in particular is the current tension over how we open up or whether we open up the state. Because in some of our rural counties, there hasn't been a single identified case of COVID-19 yet. And these also tend to be places where their economies have been struggling for decades now. And so the idea of having businesses stay closed another month is just really hard to bear. And so there are many people who are feeling like the policy of staying at home, the stay-at-home order, has been created for the urban conditions in which there are quite a few cases that maybe are plateauing, a little hard to tell today. And so the divide right now looks like people living in smaller communities might be saying, there you go again, urban folks. You're assuming that is what's needed in the cities is what's needed in the rural parts of the state. From the other side, though, people living in the cities are also perceiving like, okay, we understand that you haven't had a single case yet, but we also think we know what's going to happen when we do open up. So, for example, if we open up our tourist communities in the northern tier of the state, or say, for example, Lake Geneva, there will be people coming to enjoy the beauty and the respite and a little bit of getting away from, you know, being closed up for 6 weeks. And the likely outcome of that is that there will be cases and outbreaks, and that's something we want to avoid. And so one way of putting it is the divide is about perceptions. It's also about misunderstandings and people's assumptions about who knows what's best. So it's a dangerous time for that divide to be in place, I think.
Yeah. Well, and as we talked about before this interview, I'm from Lake Geneva, which is a very touristy area. So I've heard from a number of people who want to open businesses back up, open things in their small town. But I think anybody who lives in a small tourist town, especially one like Lake Geneva, will tell you when businesses are open, once it gets nice out, it's not just people from that area who are going to come flocking to the restaurants, flocking to the stores. It's also a lot of people from the cities where we know a lot of people are infected.
Right. And, you know, there definitely have been tourist locations in the country that have tried to keep urban tourists out, right? Like the Outer Banks in North Carolina or Cape Cod in Massachusetts. And we just don't have that kind of a country. Like, we actually do have civil liberties and people have the freedom of movement. And especially, say you're a property owner who your main home is in a city, but you own a vacation home in a more tourist community. Like, you're not allowed to then go to that home that you own and that you've been paying taxes for. It would be very difficult to regulate movement like that.
Yeah. Well, and what's interesting is, you know, we're talking about this as an urban issue right now, but when I've spoken to infectious disease experts, they've pointed out that very contagious diseases like COVID-19, they tend to hit urban areas first, mm-hmm. then they hit rural areas, and there ends up being very little difference in the percentage of people in those areas who are infected. Mm. But right now, do people feel safer in these smaller towns, in these more rural areas?
I think so, in a way, just because of the nature of the population density means that in many respects they've been self-isolating, right? So in some respects they have been behaving in ways that's safer. But unfortunately, there's two things that go along with our more rural communities right now, which means that these communities are pretty vulnerable. One is that our more rural counties tend to be older. There's a higher proportion of the population is older. And also, many of them have been designated as medically underserved places. So if there is an outbreak, there often isn't the medical infrastructure there that there is in the cities to deal with it. And I think many people in our rural places in Wisconsin recognize that, which is partly why there was some talk early on about not wanting people to come up and stay in their vacation homes. Like, there was a fear of the medical facilities being overrun by people from the cities who had been escaping the cities during this stay-at-home time. So, you know, people are aware of these dangers, but it does mean that it puts these places at considerable risk if there is an outbreak.
Well, and to get into this a bit, and I want to ask this both ways, but what are some of the core misunderstandings that people who live in rural areas have about people who are living in our urban centers, especially during this time of a pandemic?
That's a great question. One, I think, is that people in urban places don't value community in the same way. One thing that I've encountered in my fieldwork is this common sense that, like, you know, the people in the cities, they don't know their neighbors, as if there's like a different kind of valuing of community. And it is different, I think, but I think it's a misunderstanding about how people in cities connect with one another. I think another misunderstanding is often that there's not a whole lot of common sense in more urban areas. And I'm not quite sure of the way that plays out in a pandemic, but I think part of it might play out in terms of, like, you city people are so funny wearing your mask and doing all this, like, walking 6 feet apart business, and you're just really overreacting might be part of it. It just might look kind of silly from afar if there aren't people in your community getting sick.
And on the flip side of that, you know, people who live in cities like myself, what are some of the misperceptions they have about people who are living in rural areas, who, some of whom are getting pretty tired of this stay-at-home order?
I think one is that people are ignorant in rural areas. And unfortunately, this perception that, you know, they're paying too much attention to Fox News, they're misinformed. It's definitely an unfair criticism because, you know, the desire to open up the economy is based in real lived experience of really struggling to make ends meet for a long time and having absolutely zero bandwidth to have no income at all, you know. And people in cities definitely are experiencing that too. So that's not necessarily tied to any geography, but this perception that more conservative leaning people in our rural communities don't know what's in their best interest is a common perception, unfortunately, in urban areas, and not very well founded.
Well, and with that in mind, polling actually suggests that the majority of people in the state of Wisconsin believe that the governor's safer at home orders are appropriate and necessary. It's a little bit more than 85%. I think it's 86%. But we have had these protests which seem to be undermining that idea. When you've looked at how rural communities are responding to this, is perception reality here? Are a lot of people, up in arms about the stay-at-home order? Or are most people on the same side of this, urban or rural?
Yeah, great question. I think the protests are sort of a tip of the iceberg, right? I mean, in general, people who show up protests tend to be the people with the most intensely held opinions. But I think it's also very possible that at the same time, there's a very large majority of people who agree that the stay-at-home orders are necessary. There's also many people who are really frustrated across all geographies, right? And especially if you're out of a job right now, it's very possible you're saying, yeah, I know this is necessary. And also, like, I'm really fed up. And if there's any possibility of opening up, why are we not pursuing that? You know?
Yeah. So going back to kind of the government's response here, do you think the governor could be doing more to convince people in rural areas that this is the right course of action? Is there anything that he can do to create more goodwill among people who are skeptical?
Yeah. Ideally, I mean, the way we respond to this pandemic is to operate at some level of granularity, meaning where we recognize that conditions vary across location and somehow tailor policy to meet the fact that this is a very diverse state in many ways, even though we often, you know, understand ourselves racially is not very diverse at all. But in terms of the lived experience of people, there are many different types of communities in Wisconsin. And ideally, the governor and others address the pandemic by recognizing those differences and recognizing that what is necessary in Madison, for example, is not what's going to work in Milwaukee and is not what's going to work in Eau Claire and is not what is going to work in, say, Eagle River. Unfortunately, the pandemic's not going to wait around for us to figure out how to do that. Like, in the moment, a finely tuned policy is not possible. So I think the best that the governor can do in the moment is to say, I hear you. I recognize how frustrating it must be to be living in a county where there is not a single identified case of COVID-19. And for you to hear me say, we have to stay closed for another month. I understand. And we're working on it. We're figuring out how to move this whole state forward. And I acknowledge that a one-size-fits-all policy might seem unfair, but in the moment, this is the best we can do to keep everybody safe. So basically just an acknowledgement that I hear you, you know, I feel your pain.
Do you think all of the political infighting, of which there has been so much, dueling lawsuits, just a lot of ugliness kind of back and forth, Do you think that's furthering these divides?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's because we're in such a polarized state and have been in, I mean, state geographically, but state as all, also as in condition, then it means that there's very little ability to see and hear nuance, and that you're either on this side or you're on that side. And there is not a lot of room for a politician to say, look, for example, I'm a Democrat, I side with the governor, and also I understand why you want to open up your community. And we're trying to find a way to make that work. There also isn't any room for someone to be a Republican and say, look, I'm a Republican and I stand with you, rural Wisconsin. But you know what? I live in Madison and I'm seeing it and you don't want to catch this. Like, my neighbor was just in the hospital and you do not want this virus. You know, there's not a lot of room for middle ground. And that's, yeah, it's just super unfortunate. And so all the infighting, it's not making it any easier to have a nuanced communication about how we ought to address this as a state.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll find some kind of way forward together.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. I hope so.
Well, Kathy, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and for sharing your work.
Well, it's my honor. Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Kathy Kramer is a professor of political science at UW-Madison and the author of The Politics of Resentment, Rural Consciousness in Wisconsin and the Rise of Scott Walker. She spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers.